This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Wednesday, September 9th, 2009. Welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody, and welcome back for another edition of the Toastmasters Podcast. My name is Beau Bennett.
And my name is Ryan Levesque.
And we are your hosts for the show. This is episode number 7, and we will be speaking with whom, Ryan?
We're going to be speaking today with Advanced Communicator Silver and Competent Leader Dean Sheets. Mr. Sheets is a member of Dubai Men's College Toastmasters in Dubai, United Arab Emirates. We're going to be speaking today about strengthening your speeches with props and sound effects.
Is that outside of Chicago?
It's very close by, yeah.
And we're on the line with Mr. Dean Sheets. Hello, Dean, how are you?
Hey, Dean.
Hey, I'm great today. How are you doing?
Very good.
Welcome to the show. Dean, we're speaking today about strengthening your speeches with props and sound effects. And the first thing I want to ask you about is, what kind of audience do you think props and sound effects are most suited to? For example, would it work to use sound effects and props in the business world, say in a workplace presentation, or would that be a little bit over the top? What do you think?
Well, I think it's not so much a matter of audience as a matter of intended use.
Mm-hmm.
As I've said, props and sound effects are for a purpose. They're there to support your words. So anywhere where something would support your words, that would be, I think, appropriate. I think in the business world, you're more likely to see props to be used appropriately. Sound effects, I think, really go best with telling stories. But props can be used for demonstrations, telling stories, just to help people more effectively see what you're trying to say.
Okay. Now, in the business world, I think when we think of props, a word that might more readily come to mind is visual aids. Would you say that visual aids are a form of prop, or are these two different things?
Well, I guess there may be some crossover. A prop is something you interact with. And a visual aid to me sounds more like something you would just look at. So you might refer to a visual aid, mm-hmm. but a prop, you're actually using it to show someone.
Dean, you encourage in your article readers to consider how they're going to ensure that the audience's attention is going to move away from the prop and back to the speaker at the appropriate time. What suggestions could you give so that speakers can ensure that this happens?
Well, the easiest way to do it is just to put it away if it's small enough. You just take it out of their line of sight, and they'll refocus back on you.
Mm-hmm.
If it's too big or you have to set it on a table or something, I think you could just step away, and as you're speaking, they'll naturally follow your voice.
That makes sense. Okay.
Of course, a prop can steal the show, I guess, if it's just so visually interesting that people are trying to figure that out more than they care about what you're talking about. But again, that's part of the planning. So
that's right. Where the sheet comes in, right? You got to do what the car dealers do, or the auto companies.
The unveiling.
Yeah.
But actually, that brings up a great point. I think, in my opinion, from what I've seen, one of the biggest mistakes that's made has to do with timing of unveiling the prop. You build up some suspense in the story that you're telling, and then you see the speaker wanders over to a table and, you know, digs underneath and pulls out a bag, and there's some rustling, and then boom, here's the prop. But it's like, oh, that would have been helpful maybe 5 seconds ago, but it ends up being a disruption. Right. How do you think speakers can ensure that their timing is effective?
That's kind of actually a difficult question, because you have to, if you want to reveal it at a certain time, you have to have it available for revealing. And a lot of times, if you look at the Toastmaster stage, usually it's empty, or there might be a table or something. They don't want you to speak from behind a podium. So how can you pull something out from behind, you know, when you don't have anything to hide it behind. So this is another thing where you have to really plan things carefully. If you're going to use that prop, you're going to have to think ahead of time, you know, where the timing will be for you to pull it out and how will you have it right at hand.
Right. Okay.
So,
yeah, I think you suggested in your article also planning your movement so that you would move almost naturally to the audience, to the part of the stage where you have the prop stashed.
Right. And you just need to make sure, I mean, you know, you don't want to be dashing across the stage to grab a prop, as you said.
Right.
So you just have to be standing in the right place at the right time. And that's just, you know, timing and practice, really. You need to practice a little bit to make sure you can be where you need to be.
Well, let's talk about sound effects for a little bit. When I first saw in your article the mention of sound effects, the first thing that came to mind for me was those old Police Academy movies with Eddie Murphy as the police officer.
Not Eddie Murphy.
That wasn't Eddie Murphy.
No.
Who was that?
Yeah, it wasn't Eddie Murphy, but I remember him because he used to make all. He could make anything.
Yeah, it's going back to the '80s. My memory's fuzzy. Yeah.
And he was driving, you know, they'd drive down the road and he'd pretend the tire was going flat, you know, and
yeah, there you go.
And fool the other guy.
Yeah, that guy was amazing.
I don't know. It's very difficult, actually, to make sound effects that sound real using your own body and voice.
Mm-hmm.
It's something you have to practice at. And going back to Police Academy, this man was literally a genius. And I have no idea how he could make the sounds he made.
Right.
So what I recommend is a little more, something more plebeian. Just find things that will make the sound you want and at the time. I think in the article I used the example of talking about John Henry and his, tunneling through the mountain and the striking his hammer and just using a cup with a spoon, I think is what I used. I used a mug and a spoon, and I was just able to make that kind of clanking sound and give some atmosphere to the talk.
What would you think, Dean, about having an audience member who is tasked ahead of time with, for example, popping the balloon for you so that you're not on the stage fumbling with a balloon? Is that cheating, or could that be effective?
Well, I don't. There isn't really a rule book about this, so I guess yeah, that could be very effective. But this is something you would have to practice, and you'd have to have a friend who loves you well enough to take their time to practice and make sure they get the timing right.
Yeah, I like the idea, Ryan.
You like
it's very
that one?
Clever. Yeah, mm-hmm. You just got to make sure you trust that person.
That's true.
And they're not like
blow the whole speech
out.
For
right,
you.
Exactly. And then there was a gunshot. A gunshot.
That would be the cue.
Yeah. Yeah. It could happen.
You also talk about the four fundamental principles of using props and sound effects. Could you just briefly touch on each of those?
Well, yeah. One of them I've been hitting again and again and again here is just you're using these things to support your words. And that's all. You're not. They're not gonna. You don't want them to steal your show. You don't want them to do anything other than their one purpose. So make sure they support your words. And the second thing is timing. As we discussed earlier, you have to have them in the right place at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
If you say, and he pulled a gun and then you failed, right? You didn't
right.
pop the balloon at the right time.
Yep.
So you have to have that timing. You know, when you need that prop, you have to be able to pull it out right then and there, or you lose the effect. Because it is there to support your words, and if it's not there, then it didn't. So the third thing is moderation. If you put too many props and sound effects into your speech, then it'll start detracting from the speech. Even if it supports what you're saying, pulling out too many things is just going to give the audience too much to try to keep track of.
Right.
So you need to choose well what you want to do and make sure that is supporting the main point of your speech, not just pulling out props because they fit in, you know.
Right.
And the fourth thing is kind of my favorite thing is you have to think about the mess. If you're going to throw things around the stage, you have to clean up afterwards, or somebody does.
Yeah.
And like I said, you know, if you throw a deck of cards at somebody, you know, you're throwing one deck, but you have to pick up 52 things afterwards.
It's 52 pickup.
That takes a lot of time. You know?
Right.
So you know, just kind of keep that in mind. You know, you can't, like the old style vaudeville comedians, you can't pull out that seltzer bottle and just start spraying water all over everybody. It just doesn't work that way. You need to think about it.
Well, you could, but you got to suffer the consequences.
Yeah.
Right.
No, in our club, we had a woman who gave a speech. It was a fantastic speech, but she did this little part with potato chips, where she opened up a bag of potato chips and just started pouring them in her mouth and crinkling them up, and they went all over the place. People were laughing. But she was the first speaker, so the rest of the night, it's a 2.5-hour meeting, everybody was stepping on potato chips, going crunch, crunch, crunch.
If she had only assessed the mess.
Modify your speech. And I was walking down the gravel path.
Right. Yeah, a little improv there. Throw that in there.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah.
Assess the mess. Bring a vacuum cleaner with you. That's good advice. And then you end with preparation, the key to it all.
Yes.
Is that just pretty much what it sounds like? Just make sure you're prepared or
rehearsed?
Yeah, well, that's almost a general principle for any speech. You know, if you're planning to use props, you know, we're talking about timing, we're talking about moderation, we're talking about them supporting your words, and really that all that is just preparation.
Right.
Make sure you know what you're doing, and practice and follow your plan.
Right.
Cool. All right, Dean. This has been a really interesting topic. We appreciate you sharing your time with us and bringing this article to life. Is there anything else that we may have missed that you want to leave with our listening audience?
Well, I guess there's one thing. If you look in the Speaking to Inform Advanced Manual, there's Project 3 is the demonstration talk, and they give some good tips for how to use physical objects in your speeches. I guess that's one place to look, and then one place really to practice. That's what this whole project is about. So,
yeah, it sounds great, Dean. Thank you very much for taking the time to be with us. We appreciate it.
No problem. Glad you'd have me on.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Take care.
All right. Bye.
All right. Hey, Ryan, I think this is a first on the Toastmasters podcast. We actually have some listener feedback.
Woohoo!
Let us start with an email that comes in from Dan. Dan writes, "Fellows, thanks for this opportunity to voice my question. I felt for some time that the more advanced award speeches become more like one-act plays. Am I wrong in my assessment?" Ryan, answer that.
Everybody is entitled to their own opinion, Dan.
Right.
I know, Bo, I know you had some thoughts on this. So
you're being politically correct, aren't you, on this one? Well, you know how I felt. I always felt, whenever I go to an international conference, as much as I enjoy them like I do enjoy one-act plays. Pretty much.
The speeches.
Speech
contest.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes I feel like there are different classes of speeches. One time you'll see a speaker and you'll watch a speaker and you feel like they are actually talking to you. Mm-hmm. So they're really engaging. And the other type of speaker is like you are sitting in an audience watching a performance.
Right.
I can't tell you that one way is right and one way is not right. The only advice I have for Dan is, Dan, if you are not an actor and you are not the kind of person who performs one-act plays, then go with the other speaking style. Because I know that definitely works for many people.
Yeah, I remember seeing someone at the district level give a speech on Get Out and Vote, I think was the title of the speech. And it just didn't go over very well. It was very well prepared and well delivered.
Right.
But it just wasn't what the crowd was looking for. They were looking for, you know, something inspirational, something touching, perhaps something a little theatrical. And this presentation with facts and data about the importance of voting, while important, just didn't really fit the vibe of the speech contest.
Are you saying that was not a one-act play, or it should have been more like it?
It was not a one-act play, certainly not. It was more of a standard presentation.
Gotcha.
Well prepared, well delivered, but not theatrical in any sense.
Gotcha. All right, let's move on. We had a comment on the comment board underneath our podcast, and this came in from Ingrid. Ingrid says, I'm just learning about the Toastmasters podcast, and I think it is wonderful. I am just learning about the Toastmasters podcast, and I think it is wonderful. I appreciate Mrs. Schreiner's discussion on evaluations. However, there is one comment that I question. It is her evaluation of the speaker using blue humor. My only concern is that I frequently hear out veteran members telling new members and new club members what is appropriate and not appropriate topics for Toastmasters. Yet according to Toastmasters International, there are no guidelines from headquarters regarding restrictions on what can be discussed in Toastmasters. I refer to an article on Toastmasters.org entitled, You Can't Talk About That. So that is the question. And actually, Ryan, I didn't want to just blurt out something, and I didn't want to ask you, you know, what do you feel about this? I think this was more of a policy issue. So I did send this back over to the good people at Toastmasters International Headquarters, mm-hmm. and here is Toastmasters' official stance on the topic. While Toastmasters International has no organizational restrictions along these lines, each individual club does have the right to limit speech subjects, content, and/or language with the consensus of its members. Club leaders should guide their members on how to observe good taste and sensitivity in the context of that particular club. To accomplish this, it is a good idea for clubs to use their websites to advise members and guests of any policies that have been decided.
Mm.
Makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
So your interpretation of that stance, Ryan?
It's basically that it's up to the club. If the club wants to place some certain restrictions, then that's within their power to do so, and they should educate their members as well as their guests.
And that makes sense. We're both members of different clubs, mm-hmm. several different clubs, and I know one of my lunchtime clubs that I used to attend on a regular basis, they are much more formal, and you would not say some of the things that you would say in our evening club, for example, our
right.
advanced club. So, yeah.
Yeah, I have been to some clubs and heard a comment made that Toastmasters doesn't let you talk about politics, or a certain comment shouldn't have been made because it's political and that goes against Toastmasters, which I think that's probably based upon this feedback we get from International, a misinterpretation. Maybe this particular club doesn't like to get political, but I've been to plenty of clubs where
right.
table topics are all politics.
I know, yeah.
So
now we have our official answer. Good to know.
Is.
All right, we have another email that came in from Michelle. Michelle says, please accept my congratulations on this long overdue yet wonderful podcast idea.
Congratulations accepted, nice. Michelle. Thank
I think
you.
I said podcast. I meant podcast. I had a little Boston accent on that one. I'm a huge fan. May I suggest making available speeches, evaluations, and award-winning table topics from contestants with a follow-up discussion by the moderators? Having members submit their award-winning presentations will serve to motivate us to record ourselves, as I have using my MP3 player, and further enhance our presentation performance. It will also give us an extra layer of an evaluation by experts outside of our comfortable club environment. I think that is an excellent idea. In fact, we thought it was an excellent idea long ago when we started our website, which is now the Toastmasters podcast website. If you take a look at the left-hand column at toastmasterspodcast.com, we have a little button at the bottom that says Member Speech Gallery. Click on that button, and basically it's exactly what you described, Michelle. You can upload, as a member of the group, which you can just sign up as a member, you can upload your videos, your contest speeches, your MP3s if you have a recording, and other members of this group, anybody who listens to this podcast basically, can go on the website and give you an evaluation, a written evaluation, right there in the comments. We don't have many people using this because we really haven't been promoting it, but it's a wonderful tool to get more feedback.
Great idea.
All right, and that is it for the listener feedback. Now, Ryan, I think it's a good time to set them up for next week's episode.
Yes.
So, Ryan, what can you tell us about it?
Well, for next week's episode, we want to hear from you, our listening audience. In particular, what we want to hear is your story of a poor public speaking experience, specifically after you joined Toastmasters and got started with the Toastmasters program. We want to hear about a setback that you had, a time when you took the stage, took the platform, and just flopped for one reason or another. Share your story with us, and we'll play it here on the show.
And the reason for this is many speakers don't realize that everybody, or at least most of us, have these setbacks. Even though we've been in Toastmasters for quite some time, it still happens now and again. And I think, Ryan, it's comforting to hear other people have the same experiences, don't you?
It certainly can be. Absolutely.
All right, so this is how it's going to work. All you need to do is pick up the telephone and call our listener feedback voicemail. Now, with that voicemail, you have 2 minutes, so it's very much like Table Topics. And after 2 minutes, the red light doesn't go on. We don't give you a little bit more time. 2 minutes, you're just cut off.
That's over.
That's the way the machines work. So you need to keep it under 2 minutes. Ryan, what is that telephone number?
That number is 1-888-451-8862.
All right. Another way you could submit this story to us is by recording it via MP3. If you have some kind of MP3 recorder, if you have an iPhone, the iPhone is perfect for that. And then just emailing us that MP3, and you can email that to
podcast@toastmasters.org.
And we'll get it that way too. Now, you may be asking, what is the prize? Because everybody likes a prize, right?
There's always got to be a prize.
The prize is, if you have the best story, according to Bo and Ryan,
our humble opinion,
the voicemail feedback line captures your telephone number, so we'll be able to give you a call. And then what we'll do is we'll interview you for up to 5 minutes, so you get to expand on your story and share it with the world via this podcast. How is that for a prize, Ryan?
That is... Wow, out of sight, Bo.
And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Bo and Ryan, can't we just have money instead?
No.
No, we don't have any to give.
Sorry.
But you get to be on the podcast, so hopefully that's good enough. So once again, please do give us a call at what number, Ryan?
1-888-451-8862.
And share your story. You have until Wednesday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, September 16th. So we really hope to hear from you. I think it'll be a great show as long as we have a lot of people participating. And if you have any listener feedback on this show or any other show, you could also call the same number.
1-888-451-8862.
Send an email to podcast@toastmasters.org. Post on our blogs at toastmasterspodcast.com. Or send us your questions or comments via Twitter at twitter.com/thetmpodcast. Well, that's it for this show. My name is Bo Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Take care.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.